Hello, hello, hello. Oh my goodness. So excited to be here to see each and every one of you. You guys make me happy, even though it's hot as all get out. I am so excited to be here and to be in your lovely city. For everybody who's watching online, if you're here in the room, we're just super excited to be here. Life has been good, and I'm just excited to be able to share a little bit with you guys today as you guys have started this new series called Meltdown, Managing These Crazy Emotions, Even in the Heat of the Moment. And I'm just so excited to be here, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you what I'm going to talk about today, but not. Does that make sense? It's like I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you, but I'm also a little hesitant because it's one of those things where Jesus, I think he's very funny, and he's got a lot of jokes, because that's like every time I get a topic to talk, whether it's at my home church or if I'm visiting a church, I'm just like, really, you want to talk? You want me to talk about that? Like, I'm struggling with that. Like, why you want me to talk about something that I'm dealing with? But he's just like, yeah, go do it. You know, just be obedient. So I'm going to be obedient, but I'm telling you ahead of time, this is something that is a challenge for me, and it's probably a challenge for you, because we all have emotions. And one of the emotion that we're going to talk about today is comparison. Yeah, I felt the uhs and the ohs. Yeah, y'all get ready. Jesus loves you. Oh my gosh. Get ready. We're going to talk about comparison today. And comparison is nothing new. It didn't just start in the last 10 years. I know, you know, we have all kinds of things that are going on in our culture and in our world right now. But this is not anything new. It started from the beginning of time. And it's almost as if comparison starts off like a little ember. It's a little ember, and it started off maybe when we were little kids. I remember this thing we used to have in school called show and tell. Y'all remember show and tell? I used to love show and tell. And I remember one time I took my favorite doll. I had a Cabbage Patch doll, and she was so cute. My grandma got me a Cabbage Patch doll. Yeah, y'all love those Cabbage Patches. And I was the only girl, so I had to hide it from my brothers because they liked to hide my doll from me, so I couldn't get it. But I remember taking my doll to school, and I was so excited about it, to share my Cabbage Patch doll. I was excited for my teacher to call my name so I could go up. But then I got to school that day, and one of the other girls in the class brought this beautiful porcelain doll. It was gorgeous, y'all. If y'all have never seen a porcelain, it's one of those dolls like you keep it in the box because your mama won't let you really touch it or play with it, but it was gorgeous. And I'm looking at my little Cabbage Patch doll, and I'm looking at this porcelain doll, and I'm feeling some type of way. And all of a sudden, I don't want to share anymore. So it starts off kind of like this, and many of you have those same experiences. And it starts off kind of like an ember, and then it kind of grows into this flame as we get older in school. We start middle school, and all of a sudden there's this competition, there's sports that we're getting engaged in. All of us love sports, but competition breeds a lot of things. And competition means this comparison kind of takes it up a notch. And all of a sudden, you're auditioning for your band. You're trying out for the team. And you've got to be better than the next man. I know for me, I wasn't really good at sports. I tried out. I auditioned. I see. That tells you right there. You don't audition for sports. I tried out for the basketball team. Obviously, I did not make it. They made me the water girl. Pray for me. I could not play basketball to save my life. But I tried, but I failed. But I did. I was good at music. And so I was in the band. And so I auditioned and I played the saxophone. And the thing about being in the band was being first chair. You had to be first chair. You wanted to be right there at the front. I started with violin when I was in elementary school, and I transitioned to the saxophone, and I was the woodwinds queen. And I wanted to beat all the dudes because the guys always had first chair. But this comparison thing, it was everything. Like, I wanted to be better than the next man. And you probably have those same stories, auditioning, trying out for whatever sport. And it's crazy because you want that spot. You want this place in this particular team, or you want this place in this particular group that you want to be a part of. And then it takes it up a notch. You go to high school, and now it's really serious because you want to pay for school. Your mama told you, hey, I can't pay for school. If you can't get a scholarship, you might not be going, or you have to pay your own way. So the competition is stiff. And you show up with your gear, and somebody else got better gear. You show up for practice and somebody else got there an hour before you. And it's serious. It's intense. It was one of my least favorite things to do with my kids when they were growing up. Because I can't keep up with all these other people. I can't keep up. I can't pay for my kid to go to the AAU team. I couldn't do all those things. And so it was hard. And my son was like, Mom, I want to be the best. And I'm like, I want you to as well. But that comparison thing, it was a big, big, big deal. And then this thing came on the scene right about, I think it was around 1997, called social media. And that took everything up to a whole other level. My first social media experience was on MySpace. Y'all remember MySpace? Yeah, you had your music, you could set up your profile, and all of a sudden you're looking at other people's pages. And social media has elevated everything to a whole nother level. And social media has turned comparison into a hobby. It's something we do day in and day out. It's a daily activity. Actually, according to broadband research, I looked this up, most people spend an average of 2.45 hours a day on social media. 2.45 hours a day. And have you ever heard of this thing called the 10,000 hour rule? The 10,000 hour rule says this, that if you spend, let me make sure I get it right, because I don't want to be lying. So basically the 10,000 hour rule says that it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at X. Whatever X is. So let's say X is comparison. You spend 2.45 hours a day. After you spent 2.45 hours, it would take you approximately 11 years to therefore become an expert at social media. How many experts at social media do we have in the room? Depending on when you started scrolling, you might be an expert at comparison. It's not even at social media. We may be experts at comparing ourselves. We spend hours upon hours comparing ourselves to our neighbors, comparing ourselves to all of the people that we follow. And if this rule is true, we're in trouble. Because we have inundated ourselves with comparing with other people. And nothing else in history has perpetuated comparison like social media has. It's a whole other thing. And none of us are exempt from it. I don't care what hobby you like. I don't care if you like mowing grass. I promise you, you are on YouTube watching those videos of the folks mowing the grass. And you want your yard to look just, you want those lines really straight. And you just mowing and you go this way and you watch and you follow. Or if it's decorating your house, you're comparing, does my house look like this house? There's so many options and they just keep multiplying and multiplying. But the thing is, we don't compare post to post. We compare post to our real lives. Do you know how much time people take to get the perfect post before they actually post it? That house that you see, that beautiful family, they got all the matching colors on. They coordinated the colors. The mom sent out a color scheme to the whole family, and she says, this is what we want, and I want you to come stand. But you realize they're standing in front of a particular part of the house. Notice you didn't see the garage, because if I show you the garage, you'll notice that my teenage son just ran into it a couple of days ago, and we hadn't got it fixed. But we can't show you that. We're going to show you this better picture. And you're sitting here comparing your real life to people's carved out perfections that aren't really reality. But we compare ourselves constantly, over and over and over again. And who are we comparing ourselves to? You might have your favorite Instagram influencer. We already talked about some of them. I'm a little guilty with SB Mowing. I don't know if y'all follow SB Mowing. He is awesome. I literally will spend an hour on YouTube watching somebody cut grass. Why? What is wrong with me? It is really a bad thing. Like, I need to fast from it or something. I need deliverance. But our favorite influencer, or for some of us, they're strangers. They're people we don't even know. For many of us, it's celebrities. We want to keep up with the latest fads and the latest fashions and how they wear their clothes and how they wear their hair. And we're comparing ourselves constantly. And research says, though, that we really know that we really can't be those people. But in fact, who we actually are comparing ourselves to are our actual social circles. It's the people closest to us. It's our neighbors that live next door who always seem to be getting something new at their house. And I just can't keep up with the Joneses. I can't compare. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have those kind of resources to be able to get all the latest and the greatest at our house. Or their car. They always get the next car. It's a lease. It's really, they don't have that much money. It's a lease. They just turn it back in. Or what if it's your siblings, your brother or your sister, comparing yourselves to them? Or as parents, sometimes we breed that in our own kids. We actually say things, why can't you be more like your brother? He never gives me this kind of trouble. Why can't you be more like your sister? And even as an adult, I'm sitting at dinner the other night with my brother and his family, and we're sitting here and we're talking about things, and I'm comparing my life to where my brother is in his life. And I'm like, why am I doing this? You're a totally different person. But you find yourself kind of naturally going there. Am I where my brother is? Am I where my cousin is? Am I where my sister is? Or your coworkers? You compare yourselves to them, and you're just waiting for that shot. They're always in the meeting, the first one to raise their hand and the first one for the boss to call on to give their idea. And you've got so many, but nobody seems to be paying you attention. And so you feel like you're less than. And you're trying to keep up. Or your friends, your small group community. I'm a part of a small group that's been together for a while. We've all been friends for a while, but they were all married and I was the single mom. So when I got married, they let me in. I could hang out with them. I could go on the trips and do the different things. And we have this small group that we send this text and it's encouraging us in our marriages every Wednesday. And it's so crazy because sometimes, you know, you got that couple that's on the small group chat and they reply back and they're like, oh yeah, baby, that was wonderful, honey. That was amazing. Oh, I'm gonna love you so well this week. And then you got couples who are just like, oh my gosh, cry me a river. I don't wanna do all of this. We're comparing. How come my husband didn't say anything? How come my spouse didn't respond back to the chat? Do they not like me this week? Are we fighting? And we're comparing ourselves constantly. And the fact of the matter is that comparison kills. Comparison has the opportunity. It has the potential to destroy. And what does it kill? It kills our character. It gives us this sense of inferiority or superiority or arrogance when we feel like we're better than the person next door to us. When we feel like our lines and our grass are always perfect. You can walk on my grass without your shoes on. It's like carpet. And yours is just crusty and dry. You can have this character that's arrogant. Or you can be on the other end where you feel like you're less than. And you envy that person. You carry anger and bitterness against your neighbor or your brother or your friend or your coworker. Comparison also kills confidence. It kills our confidence in ourselves. Those things that we know we're good at, but there's always gonna be somebody who's a little bit better. And we can't stand it. Why can't I just get ahead of them? Why can't I look like that? Let me just tell you something. There's always gonna be somebody who's cuter. There's always gonna be somebody whose hair is nicer. There's always gonna be somebody who's more successful, who makes a little bit more money. It's just a matter of fact. But that's hard to deal with. There was one situation I was in when I was a little girl. When I was in middle school, I think, we used to hang out at the mall. That's what we want. We just ask our parents to drop us off at the mall. And I have always struggled with insecurity about how I look. I know I'm fine. I know. I'm beautiful. But I didn't always feel this way. I'm really just kidding. I didn't always have the confidence that I have, that I'm still growing in. But when I was a young girl, oh, I compared myself really bad. And so one day I went to the mall with some friends and I had saved up some money to get these nice little green, these little white shorts and this green top with some puff sleeves. And I thought I looked really cute, had my hair done, nice 80s style. And I'm at the mall and I'm walking with my friends, and I thought all of my girlfriends looked better than me. They were all more beautiful. Something was better. And so we're walking in the mall, and you know, when you're walking with your group of girlfriends, there's a group of guys walking around too. So we're walking, and all of a sudden, we see this group of guys, and they're just like, oh, they're cute. And you just kind of keep walking, and you're just kind of looking at each other. You're doing your thing. And all of a sudden, one guy, he said, hey, Sade. Sade with the green shirt on. And I'm like, me? Yeah, Sade, y'all know, Sade. That's what they used to call folks when I was growing up. You didn't say girl, you said Sade. Hey, Sade with the green shirt on. I was like, me? And I'm just, oh. They were like, girl, he calling you, girl, go see what he wants. I was like, oh, my God. So I go over there. Hey. He's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, I'm good. How are you? He said, yeah, so what's your girlfriend's name? Thank y'all. I appreciate that. I was like, oh, that's Missy. He said, yeah, can you go talk to her? Tell her, ask her if I can get her number. So now I'm becoming the matchmaker. And my self-esteem drops. Tanks. I'm still recovering. Y'all pray for me. But it kills our confidence in who we are. It kills our self-esteem and our value that we place on ourselves. And it also can kill our contentment, our ability to be content with where we are. Comparison makes it virtually impossible to be content or grateful for what God has already done. And we're never satisfied, no matter what we get, no matter how much God has blessed, no matter how much God has freed us from different things, we are always discontented. Comparison can also kill clarity. Our ability to see clearly what we are to do and who we are to be. And that what those things that God has set before us, we can't see the forest for the trees. Because the grass is always greener on the other side. And so it kills our clarity. And we're constantly comparing ourselves to others. And it blinds us from the future. And it muddies this path that God has before us for the best life. God has created us to live a specific life. But comparison kills our clarity in that. And there's this story in the Bible that I felt like was just so, so key in demonstrating this. And it's found, it starts in Exodus. And if you know anything about the children of Israel, in Exodus, God had made this promise to the children of Israel that he was going to give them this land called Canaan, that he promised this land to the children of Israel. He said it was a land flowing with milk and honey, and this land belongs to you. I'm going to give it to you. And so he made this promise, and he told them, he said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you victory over the inhabitants of the land. And I'm going to display my power he displayed his power by taking them through the Red Sea. He sent all these plagues and he freed them from bondage in Egypt. He freed them. He did so many wonderful things. I'm talking about locusts and all kind of diseases. And he just slayed the enemy. He displayed his power so beautifully. He was so strong and so mighty. And he led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night. I mean, so dynamic. And then he also showed them his provision. He sent them manna and quail day in and day out. They never went hungry. Their clothes never tore up. He always provided for them. And so he gave them all of these things. And so now it's time to take the land. We move out of Exodus and they're in the wilderness. And he says, it's time to possess this land. So what I want you to do, he gives them some instructions. In Numbers 13, he says, I want you to do three things. I want you to go. I want you to look at the people and find out if they're strong or if they're weak. I want you to tell me, are they strong or are they weak? I want you to take a look at the land. Is it a good land or is it a bad land? Look at the trees. I want you to tell me about the trees and what is the soil like? Is it fertile or is it poor? And he says, bring back fruit from this land. And then he also said, I want you to check out the town. See if it's protected or unprotected. And so he sends spies into the land of Canaan to check it out with specific instructions. And then in Numbers chapter 13, it says this. It says, they gave Moses this account after they came back. It says, we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But The people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But, there's that word again, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there," which were giants. And this is what it said. It says, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So instead of believing in the promises and the power and the provision of God that he had already put on display in front of them, they chose to compare themselves based on their circumstance, based on what they saw, and they likened themselves to grasshoppers. Think about that for a moment. How many times has God shown you how powerful he is in your life? How many times has God provided and made ways out of no ways for you? But instead of celebrating that and going to that next level where God is calling you, you are afraid because you compare yourself to other people. "I can't do this podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I can't start this new business. Somebody else just opened that business a few miles down the road. God, why would you want me to do that? I can't have any more kids. I can't afford them. This family over here, they make this much money. Why do you want me to have another child?" And we compare ourselves and we liken ourselves to even the size of a grasshopper. And now God's promise and his power and his provision are overridden by doubt and discouragement and disobedience and disqualification. The story goes on. The people of Israel, because they refused to do what God told them to do, what ended up happening? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years, think about that, all because I compared myself to what I saw. And I didn't trust God's promise. I didn't trust God's power. I didn't trust his provision. And now I'm wandering in Neverland. How many of us feel that way? How many of us feel like we're stuck? Perhaps it's because we keep looking and comparing ourselves to other people who may seemingly have the same path before them. But what we seem to forget is that what God promises, he accomplishes. When God displays his power is not just for them, but it's for you too. And what he provides for one, he will provide for you. And we miss out. And ultimately, we find that comparison kills purpose. We mutilate our own purpose because of comparison. And so, how do I guard myself against comparison? This is a very simple message. How do I guard myself against comparing myself to other people? First of all, cut off social media. I'm just kidding. But it could be helpful. It could be very helpful. Sometimes I have to cut it off. But the first thing you do is appreciate you. Yes. Appreciate you. Appreciate that God made you just the way you are for the reason that he made you. He put you in your family of origin for a purpose. He sent you to the city that you live in for a purpose. He gave you your mother and dad, no matter how great or how horrible your family life was. God did it all for a purpose. Appreciate you. The gray hairs, appreciate them. Everything. Your complexion, appreciate it. the length of your hair. It's thick, it's thin. Who cares? Appreciate you. See yourself the way God sees you. Express gratitude for who you are and for the way that God made you. See your value. And if you want to compare yourself to anyone, compare yourself to yourself. Are you being the best you that you can possibly be? Am I being the best April that I can possibly be? I cannot be. I'm going to be vulnerable for just a second. When God told me that I was a preacher, I was like, no, I'm not. It's not what I do. I sing. That's what I do. He's like, no, I want you to talk. I said, let me sing. I can do that. I don't want to talk. He's like, no, I want you to talk. And one of the most challenging things, anybody in who ever has to give a presentation or speak in front of anybody, one of the most challenging things for me is comparing myself to another speaker. One of my favorite is Priscilla Shire. If you're watching this, God bless you. I love you so much. She's amazing. She's a phenomenal speaker, but I'm not her. I can't be her. I couldn't if I tried. I didn't grow up in Texas. I don't have long hair. I can't. I don't have three boys. Like, I just can't be her. I don't have her life experiences. You have the experiences that you have, and April has the experiences that April has. And guess what? God wants to use that. So if you want to compare yourself to anyone, compare yourself to you. Are you maximizing what God has put in your life? Are you maximizing the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that he has placed in your hand and using them for his glory? Whether it reaches five people or 500,000, that's up to God. God just says, be obedient and appreciate who I made you. You're a gift from God, so appreciate you. The next thing, applaud others. Yes. Applaud them. Identify those people in your life that you found yourself jealous of and intentionally celebrate them. Real talk. Be on purpose about it. When your coworker gets a promotion that you wanted and you put in for, don't be a hater. Celebrate them. Be the first one to go to the grocery store and buy a cake and put it on their desk and say, well done. Congratulations. I'm so glad you got it. If somebody else gets something you want, I wanted a house for so long, it took me forever to be able to buy my own home. But my mom used to always tell me, she said, whatever apartment you live in, you treat that like that's your house. You clean it well, you keep it up, don't you tear it up, because if you don't take care of your rental, God's not gonna bless you with your own. That's what my mom used to tell me. So what I did was when my friends got new houses, I was the first one to sign up, hey, you need me to come help you move? Can I help you clean? Can I help you put up your dishes? Can I help you organize? What can I do to celebrate you? And you know what that does? It kills jealousy. It eradicates envy. It squashes it so it doesn't have the opportunity to grow in our hearts. So we applaud others, and it brings humility, and it purifies our hearts. And lastly, amplify purpose. Increase it in size. Pursue purpose like you've never pursued it before. Fulfilling your God-given purpose should be your top priority. Not being like the next person, but being focused on what it is that God has called you to do. Amplify purpose. Make it huge. Live on purpose. I tell myself that all the time. Whatever life I'm living, whatever thing that God has put in my hands to do, do it on purpose. If you have children, raise your children on purpose. They are not mistakes. I don't care how they got here. Amen. Raise them on purpose. Go to your job on purpose. Get there on time. Live on purpose. And pursue it relentlessly, not based on others or what others are doing, but on what you hold in your hands. What are you gifted at? What is it? I want you to think about that for a moment. What is that thing that God has put in your hand that you love? It may seem small in comparison, but that's why we're not supposed to compare. It's a gift to someone. Your purpose may be to love on the elderly in nursing homes. That is a gift. And I pray that if that is your gift, that you do it with fire and passion and purpose, because God desires to use that to bless people who seem like nobody else cares about them. Whatever it is that God has put in your hand, purpose unfolds. And you may be asking yourself, like, well, I don't even know what my purpose is. Purpose unfolds as we keep our eyes away from comparison and fixed on the God who made us. The more you pursue God, the more purpose is illuminated. The more you say, God, whatever it is, my answer is yes. To whatever it is you call me to do, if you want me to make a meal for this family, yes. And you are fulfilling purpose. And God can use that and he will multiply it. Proverbs 19:21 says that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails anyway. So why compare to someone else when you have every opportunity to live your life to the best of your ability, to the glory of God? Nobody else can do what you do. Nobody else can be who you are. And if you allow yourself, if we allow ourselves to continually compare, we will end this life having not fulfilled purpose. Comparison kills. So if God's plan will ultimately prevail, don't let comparison keep you from living out the life that he has for you. At all. It's a good life. It's your life. It's God's life. And it's for his glory. The Bible tells us that everything we do, whether in word or in deed, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever that passion is, whatever that gift is, quit looking around and comparing yourself to other people and lift that gift up to God. To God be the glory for the things he has done in your life. He deserves it. He has made an investment in each and every one of us. And we want to give God a return on that investment. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what an honor it is to be able to be called your sons and your daughters. And God, we'll be honest. We've allowed comparison to keep us from walking out a lot of things. We use comparison to give us excuses as to why we won't take this step or move forward in that direction. And there's many of us today that's in this room or watching right now, and we've got it in our heads. It's coming to our minds. You're bringing it back to us. Yeah, it's that. You're wondering, is this what I'm supposed to be? Yes, it's that. But you've stopped, and we've stopped because we compare ourselves to other people. I'm not as good at this than this person is. God, forgive us. Forgive us for not seeing you for who you are, for not trusting your plan for our lives, and for not allowing your will to be accomplished and walked out in our lives on purpose. So God, keep our eyes fixed on you and away from the things that distract us, God. And if there's things that we need to repent about, things that we know are keeping us away and keeping us distracted from living life on purpose, God, help us to set those things aside so that they no longer keep us from walking this life out the way that you would have us to, so that we can give you the glory that you deserve with the life that you've invested in us. Every gift, every talent, every ability, everything. We lay it at your feet, and help us to trust you with what you've given us, to trust that your plan for us is good, to trust that your plan for us is right, and to trust that your plan for us is exactly what we're supposed to do. So God, help us to not compare, but to trust you with our lives fully and completely. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.